You are now entering the world of Blissful Living, broadcasting around the globe and on the Blissful Living Network with Rochelle Marie Lawson. Are you lacking energy, clarity, and that sense of true well-being? Are you overworked, underpaid, and know that you deserve more in life? You are not alone. Improve your wellness, wisdom, and wealth so that you can step into living the life of your dreams. And now, here's your host of Blissful Living, the queen of feeling fabulous, Rochelle Marie Lawson.
Now, within the context of, I want to say, the mental layer or one of the layers of the soul, you know, we have our ego, our lovely little ego that sometimes creates a little bit of chaos or challenges with regards to us traveling, you know, our journey here, our path on our path to bliss. When you say that the ego is a virtual layer of the mind, can you please explain what you're meaning by that?
The ego is a virtual layer because it doesn't really exist unless we are incarnated. So it's formed through the identification of the other layers, the mental and emotional sheaths, with the physical body. And so it holds both feminine and masculine aspects. It allows you to experience things as a separate identity, you know, as an individual, and connect and interact with others. And that's why it only exists when your soul is incarnated. The more that we become self-aware and acquire a higher perception of things, a sense of oneness, the more it dissolves, you know, it kind of fades out. But of course, the ego, when we're not self-aware, when we don't have any inner work done, then it kind of rules your life. And it rules your life through that identification with a physical body. It means with your attachments and your desires, and, you know, we hold on to things and we get really upset if we don't get what we want, you know, that's ego. The feminine is more flexible. It's more internal. Because there are these two aspects of ego. One is feminine, is more inward, and the other one is masculine, is outward, is the, you know, so, interaction with the world.
So, okay, I have a question here. I guess based on the higher you ascend, or maybe that's not the correct term, but with regards to your life that you are supposed to experience through your soul's journey, is it the more you kind of, I want to say, get closer towards a higher level, the less your ego comes into play with being able to create havoc in your life? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, okay. Because you take charge from a different layer. In other words, you can imagine the layers of the soul as nested shades, as of a lamp. So at the very core, there's this light, mm-hmm. the light of consciousness, mm-hmm. that's pure and infinite and all potential. And then you have these nested layers. The grossest one is the physical. That's where the physical senses exist and kind of direct the play, right? But
right.
The more you look within, the more you place your awareness from a deeper layer, like the spiritual layer, that's closest to your true divine nature, the less attached you're going to be to the physical. So the less control and the less in charge the ego becomes. The more attached you are to the physical, you know, like people who believe that that's all there is, there's nothing
right.
but physical, and
mm-hmm.
I'm just going to focus on fulfilling my desires no matter what, and, you know, being attached to what I want and the people in my life and so on. Well, those people are going to suffer a lot more because the attachment that the ego creates is going to bind them to, you know, just living in the physical and not perceiving life from a higher place, from a, you know, higher perception to create a higher reality that is less attached to the physical, closer to infinite consciousness, that is, you know, pure love, pure bliss, pure wisdom.
Oh, that's beautiful. Okay, here's another question. You know, you say you have a parent and a child, and now I'm thinking I've actually seen this based on what you just shared. The parent is not as evolved. The parent's soul is not as evolved as the child. So the parent is a little bit more, you know, attached to the physicality of life, whereas the child is more compassionate and, you know, all of the qualities that you explain. What I'm asking is, that is that truly possible? And if so, is there a message or a lesson or something behind the interaction of those two souls, even though they seem like they're in reverse places?
Well, all new generations bring in, you know, bring forth or push towards the evolution. So new generations are always going to bring more clarity and wisdom than the previous ones. But one of the things that I actually stress out a lot in the book is that we need to take spiritual responsibility for our journey, because it's a soul-guided journey. It's not an ego-based journey, although we may experience it like that. But it's soul-guided in the sense that it takes us to the right place at the right time so we can internalize the issues we need to work on to continue evolving. And that means our environment, our parents, you know, the main landmarks of our lives are already chosen on a soul level. You know, we choose them, but when we're choosing them, we're not an ego viewpoint, you know. We're on a soul level, on a vibrational level. And so we need to deal with these parents that we've chosen, to both be at peace with them, because there's clearly some karma that needs to get played out, and then also to internalize all those false beliefs, distorted perceptions, and all these negative things that they hold and they carry and they transmit to us, because those are the things that we need to work through to bring something better. And as we grow up and get to a point where we don't agree with that anymore, and we have to find a way to become truly ourselves and leave all that past baggage behind, that's when we really start transforming, questioning, you know, seeking for something more authentic that makes us feel more connected to ourselves. And in that process, we are transforming and we are contributing to the collective unconscious what we're here to contribute. That's how transformation happens. Otherwise, we would be still in caves, you know, hitting each other with a
club.
With a club, you're right.
Oh, I love it. This is so enlightening. Now, you mentioned spiritual responsibility, and I just want to go back to that for just a moment, because I want the listeners out there to be able to, one, understand just a little bit more about when you say that, you know, we need to do that. Okay, how do we do that, and is it possible for us to start doing that today?
Yes. It starts when you stop believing that life happens to you, and you start paying attention to how you are creating everything in your experience. And, of course, a lot of it is created unconsciously, because we're not aware of our patterns and our attitudes and the energy that we're putting out there. But when you start paying attention to what life is reflecting back at you and asking, what is this telling me about me? You start taking spiritual responsibility. Because like I said before, it is your own movie. It's a mental movie. And the script is your self-perception. So when you find opposition or obstacles or difficult relationships or situations, and you just place yourself in the role of a victim, poor me, and all this is happening, and, you know, I don't know what, there's nothing I can do about it, well, you're not going to change anything, and you're not really taking spiritual responsibility, right? So to do that, you have to step out of that role and that self-perception and start questioning, why is this happening? What is this telling me? What is this showing me about me that I need to change, that I need to transform, that I need to heal? Because every single thing that causes us pain is really pointing at a wound that is already there, and it's just, you know, our own soul is saying, hey, you need to look at this. You need to look at this. You need to do something about it so that it doesn't happen again. That's taking spiritual responsibility. And it can start right now, right here, right now. You know, just start questioning instead of being blindly led through life as a victim, you know, like a child, codependent,
right.
Feeling like, you know, you're helpless, there's nothing you can do about it, and it's someone else's fault.
Wow, I love it. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So listeners out there, Yo Swan just gave you a huge golden nugget that, for one, will help you evolve and transform and become more aware and basically take more control of your own mental movie. But really, she gave you a golden nugget that will change your life. And so when you start questioning things instead of playing the victim, I believe that all of us will begin to evolve and awaken and realize that life is life, and, you know, why are we going through the things that we're going through, and how can we make things better and take responsibility for what we perceive and how we respond to things. So thank you for sharing that. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Oh, my gosh. Now, with regards to spiritual healing, is there not anyone that needs spiritual healing? Do some people need spiritual healing, or do we all need spiritual healing in some aspect of or form?
We all need healing. In fact, that's one of the main reasons why we have to reincarnate so many times. And it's not because we we need to be fixed or we're broken, but really it's because life in the physical body is very challenging, and it makes it very easy for us to disconnect from that flow of consciousness, you know, from that core element of the soul. So we get so attached to the physicality, to the physical senses, to our desires, to the things that we want to accomplish, to what the world is telling us that is important, that we forget sometimes what are our spiritual priorities. So we forget to be more compassionate and more loving and choose love instead of fear, or choose a connection instead of, you know, my own little individual process that I need to heal because I'm wounded and I need to, you know, kind of replace my wounds with something else. And so we carry both individual wounds as well as those belonging to the feminine planet that we have created collectively. It didn't just happen overnight that someone, you know, just create all this mess. We've been doing this all along, and so we share that responsibility as well. So those wounds make us suffer for ourselves, you know, our own individual journey, and for the Earth.
Right.
And so we need that healing. We need, and that means aligning all the layers of the soul so that they are at peace, so that they are supporting each other. You know how sometimes you want to do something, you know, you have this desire, but your mind is pulling you in a different direction, And then deep inside, you know that really you should be going in another direction. And the wounded inner child says, well, no, this is what I want, and I'm going to be in temper tantrum, right? And
mm-hmm.
So we are so split, so disconnected from ourselves because these aspects have been kind of scattered or separated or compartmentalized. You know, the world tends to do that, you know, growing up in a dysfunctional family, and I don't think there's a family that is not dysfunctional in this world, or the educational system, or, you know, or the jobs that we hold, you know, the positions, the corporation, it's all very compartmentalized. And so we grow up believing, you know, and following the same trends of compartmentalizing aspects of ourselves that we need to integrate and put together and align to feel strong and clear about who we are and what we want and make conscious choices that are beneficial for ourselves and for others. So
wow.
In that sense, healing is the process of self-integration, soul integration, that allows us to be centered and anchored in ourselves and have a higher perception of what our life is about. And it requires, of course, putting all the pieces of our life puzzle together to really understand, you know, what we're here to do, what's the meaning and purpose of everything that we've gone through, and you know, learn from those experiences and keep growing and growing to bring forth something better, something higher, you know, something more elevated, you know, spiritualized.
Right. Wow. Thank you. Thank you. Now, I want to get into a little bit of how we mentioned earlier in the show about the feminine soul and, you know, how the feminine soul is really connected to the planet. And when there's an imbalance, so to speak, a disturbance or an unbalance of the scales, things can be chaotic in both realms. Can you explain to us why restoring the feminine soul and bringing balance to the planet, and how can this, how by us doing this, how can we do this, first of all? How can we restore the feminine soul and bring balance back to the planet?
Well, one thing that I want to mention before going into that is that we disconnected from the feminine a very long time ago.
Do you know about when this occurred, approximately?
When we were during the civilization of Atlantis.
Okay.
So we disconnected, you know, it was a big rebellion. I'm not going to go into details. You have to read the book to learn that story. But, you know, there was a big rebellion, and we disconnected from the feminine because those who manipulated all the feminine souls into rebelling and joining them, and also masculine souls who were not as masculine, you know, I call these souls martial souls because they're very war-oriented and very conflict-oriented and experimentation-oriented. We still see them out there. You know, they're the you know, the ones who pollute our rivers and air and food and all and so on. So, and of course, promote war left and right. So those are the souls that kind of manipulated us to rebel. And they did that because they really wanted to take charge of the planet. They wanted to say, okay, we're in charge. This is our experiment, and we want to be alone. We don't want anyone else to intervene. And back then, we were connected to many other planets. You know, the Earth was sort of a hub. And, of course, higher teachers and masters, you know, a whole galactic federation. And so we disconnected from that and started experimenting with energy, with all the elements on the planet, and so on. That's what these guys wanted, and they still do. But in that process, there was an imbalance of energy. And so things started blowing up, and the the continent or the islands of Atlantis sank. And at the same time, because of that manipulation of energy and because we were transitioning towards a masculine dark cycle, you know, cosmic cycle of which we had obviously no control whatsoever,
mm-hmm.
We disconnected from the lunar energies further and further and sank into third dimension. So it's complex to understand, but basically we were living in fifth dimension, trying to interact with each other, different soul types from different places, from different evolutionary states and so on, to experience the human physical experience on the planet and learning from each other and so on. But, you know, those who took charge were really here to drag us into this dark masculine cycle. You know, that was their purpose, their function, because each soul
right.
has specific function, right? So
mm-hmm.
we can see them as the bad guys, yeah, because they're not nice, but they had a purpose, right? And so we disconnected from that, and as we got deeper and deeper into this third dimension, of course, we disconnected further and further. So that resulted, you know, eventually in what we see today, which is a very wounded feminine, where the qualities and the virtues of, you know, the sensitivity, receptivity, intuition,
right.
compassion, love, connection, nurturing, are devalued. You know, they're just
right.
kind of limited to certain roles, and that's it. And it's very clear in the roles that women have had throughout history. It's like you're the mother and the lover, and, you know,
right.
and that's it.
Right.
And those are
right.
the main soul types that have been here also supporting this masculine cycle. Now we have reached the extreme of masculinity, and we're turning around. And there's a lot happening nowadays, you know, because we're turning
right.
towards a feminine cosmic cycle. We are also moving into a planetary cycle, you know, an astrological cycle, the age
right.
of Aquarius.
Mm-hmm.
And we're moving back into fifth dimension. So there's a, you know, it's a juncture of shifts that is happening. And as we move that, we have to restore the feminine to bring balance. Because if you think about it one step further, and, you know, life on Earth would be completely destroyed.
Right.
So we've really reached that. And so we all are experiencing, feeling the calling of the feminine to start questioning all this and saying, okay, hold on, I don't want that. I don't want to push it any further. I want to figure ways to bring more balance, to bring a healthier, and to save this planet. And
so is that something
happening at a very deep level?
Is that something that the indigo children or the indigos, I'm going to say, are able to assist with because of their deep feminine masculine balance and the connection that they have with the planet?
Yes, all feminine souls are feeling that calling to restore the feminine. Indigos, because of the masculine qualities, have been planting seeds throughout history to get here, to get to this point. And what one of the premises, or the not the premises, but the main suggestion of the book is for all feminine souls to embrace an indigo archetype. Why? Because the excessive masculinity allows any feminine soul to take on some of those qualities and bring into manifestation, into reality, the qualities of the feminine. We need that masculine energy because it's what gives us purpose, what gives us clarity, what gives us self-discipline. Otherwise, we remain a little too passive, which is what's
okay.
happened for thousands of years, right? So we
right.
need to really take charge of the energies, of both energies, and accomplish something that we know is going to contribute to a better planet. And, of course, restoring the feminine and balancing our energies from within and on the outside. Because we're all connected to everything and everyone, so even just our own personal transformation affects the whole.
Wow.
But of course, we are also here to create new types of businesses, new types of parenting, new types of teaching and learning. And so we need to integrate both masculine and feminine to accomplish that.
That. I see. I love it. Just love it. So, okay. So all of got people out there listening, we're, you know, coming down to the end of our segment here. But what I want to you to do is I want you guys to continue listening, because now that you have all this information, I'm going to ask Yoel, now that we have this information about the indigos and the feminine and masculine and the layers of the soul and all this wonderful information you gave us and you shared with us and the tips that you shared with us on how we can basically be better, what should we do with this information?
Well, you need to go to Amazon and buy my book.
Very nice.
To put all the pieces that I just gave you together and have, you know, a more cohesive understanding of everything that I said. Because, I mean, these are just little pieces here and there. But throughout the book, I explain how all this happened, you know, and there's a lot of insight, a lot of tools, a lot of ways to help you, you know, to guide you through that process of transformation that is very much needed.
You're very right, you guys. I got her book. It was sent to me, which was wonderful. It was a beautiful gift. And I got right into it because I just have interest in, have been told that, that I was an indigo a long time ago. And so I knew a little bit more about it, and it just helped explain a lot of things. But you talk about meditation being essential to finding balance. And that's a really good way, I think, for people to just really start becoming self-aware of themselves. Some people find it difficult to meditate. And I know that being a certified meditation specialist, do you have one suggestion that you can share with the listeners before we get really into how they can connect with you that would make anyone out there listening that may be apprehensive about meditation because they find it difficult? Do you have something that you can share with them that might make it just a little bit easier for them?
Sure. Meditation is the ultimate medicine. You know, it's the ultimate healing. It's what we are all here to really master. Because without meditation, there's no deep transformation. There's no tapping into the deepest aspects of the soul. So it's essential. And I know it's challenging because we have an ego, you know, an ego mind that is going to be bombarding you when you sit down and try to meditate. You know, just to quiet the mind is quite a process. So what I recommend, and I have definitely different steps in the book to help you with this, is to focus your creative energy so that you anchor yourself in something, you know. So it's easier to do it with a creative endeavor, like, you know, drawing or painting or singing or writing or something that really focuses your attention on something that you're enjoying, but at the same time, you're anchoring the different layers of your mind into one single thing. And it's that single-pointedness that is going to make for you, easier for you to step into meditation, to, you know, to take that next step. Because it's being... You know, meditation allows you to be completely in the present moment, really, truly in the present. When you're absolutely in the present, you touch your own infinite nature. So when you focus and the world disappears, you know, you just focus on what you're doing, you're tapping into those aspects of the soul and you're reinforcing them. You're creating this habit, this groove, if you will, that anchors you there, and then it's going to make easier for you to sit down and find that place within you again. So that's an easy way to get started if sitting down in meditation it's tough, but it's really about focusing, anchoring yourself in something that connects you to you. So it's something that you're enjoying, but it also involves, you know, the physical, the mental, the emotional. So we're trying to, again, align those layers in what we're doing, not for money, not if it's your profession, it has to be something that you carve the time and space just for you. It's like your own little club where no one else is invited, and you're connecting to yourself through that endeavor, and that definitely helps. It makes things easier.
Thank you so much for sharing that. Now, I want you to really tell us, if someone out there wants to connect with you, they want to get the book, please share all of that information as to, one, how they can get the book, phenomenal book, and two, how they can connect with you for deeper understanding.
Yeah, the book can be found on Amazon, both in print and as an ebook, and also as an ebook at BarnesandNoble.com and iTunes, and through select bookstores that carry these type of metaphysical books. The title is, again, The Indigo Journals: Spiritual Healing for Indigo Adults and Other Feminine Souls. And there's a website for it as well where you can get more information. It's theindigojournals.com. And as far as me and my services, what I do, you can learn more about all of that at soulguidedcoach.com. Soulguidedcoach.com, where I have a variety of private services like spiritual counseling or conscious business coaching for spiritual entrepreneurs. I also have an individual Indigo Soul Healing program and other energy healing services. And I'm launching a group program this year pretty soon, within a couple months or so, that is called Unlock Your Hidden Power for Self-Healing, Abundance, and Joy. And that's clearly based on the book and restoring the feminine, utilizing, harnessing that creative power of the feminine to feel self-empowered and heal the past, heal the wounds, be at peace with yourself, and bring abundance and joy into your life. So stay tuned for that. You can join my newsletter as well to stay in touch. And again, the website is soulguidedcoach.com.
Well, thank you so much, Yoel Swan, for being a guest on Blissful Living. I had an absolutely fabulous time learning so much more about indigos and the feminine and masculine soul levels and ego and just, how our life is. I mean, there were so many things that you shared with regards to just us being able to have a better journey as we're here. How we can take the spiritual responsibilities, all of that wonderful stuff. And I want to thank all of you for sharing your time with us and listening to the show. I'm sure that Yoel gave you some enlightenment, learned a little bit of information that you may have not known, and you may have been able to enhance the information that you have that you already knew. So take the information, connect with her at her website, soulguidedcoach.com, and please go to Amazon and pick up her book, The Indigo Journal, Spiritual Healing for Indigo Adults and Other Feminine Souls. And I also want to thank our sponsors, the Health Healing and Wellness Company, healthhealingwellness.com. Please go check them out as well as All Day Cable, Inc., and they are at alldaycableinc.com. I am the Queen of Feeling Fabulous, Rochelle Marie Lawson, and I want to wish you peace to your mind, wellness to your body, and tranquility to your spirit as you travel down your path to bliss. Until next week, have a fabulous week, and goodbye for now.
Thank you for joining Rochelle Marie Lawson on Blissful Living. To contact Rochelle Marie and to find out more about Blissful Living, click on Blissful Living for You link right here on the Blissful Living Network. Catch all the Blissful Living episodes on demand and available for download 24/7 on blissfulliving4you.com. Until next week, may your life be filled with peace, wellness, abundance, and prosperity.